The reading is from Mark 1, verses 21 to 28. Jesus drives out an impure spirit. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit, cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee.
Well, today we await some important words, don't we? Words which might bring some easing to the lockdown, or at least give us some idea of what the next few weeks might look like. Words which I cannot bring, even though I'm perhaps talking to you through a screen. If I was to say something about what should or shouldn't happen in this country now, that would make no difference. It's not because I don't have the right haircut, it's because I don't have the right authority. You see, words with the right authority are really powerful, aren't they? And that's exactly what we see in this portion of Mark's Gospel. Mark has shared with us that Jesus has come bringing good news. And we've begun to follow Jesus now. Indeed, last week we heard Jesus proclaiming that good news, calling on people to repent and believe the good news. And then we saw Jesus by the shore of Galilee, calling two sets of brothers, Simon and Andrew and James and John. And it's those two sets of brothers with Jesus who we see appear in verse 21. They are the "they" at the beginning of that verse. Take a look with me. "They went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach." It's nothing unusual so far. It would be very ordinary for a group of Jews to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. It's even quite ordinary that one of them might stand up to teach, as Jesus did. But as Jesus opens his mouth, the others who are gathered there in that synagogue recognise that there is something out of the ordinary taking place. That's the first headline, really, that we see in this passage. It's this: Jesus' words have authority. Jesus' words have authority. Have a look with me at verse 22. "The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law." Now that's a surprising turn of phrase from Mark. If you went to a synagogue in those days, then the highest authority really in helping you to understand the scriptures were the teachers of the law. They studied the scriptures. Their job was to bring the scriptures, to teach the scriptures to other people. They had a level of authority. But Jesus was on a whole new level. For the people in the synagogue that day, it would be a bit like if you were at school and suddenly teaching you was not your food technology teacher, but it was Jamie Oliver. Or your physics teacher, suddenly it was Sir Isaac Newton. Or your English teacher, suddenly there in the classroom was William Shakespeare. Suddenly you're on a whole new level. Jesus teaching in the synagogue. speaking to people as if he knew God, as if he was the Son of God. Jesus speaking to people as if he knew them, as if he had made them. Jesus speaking words from Scripture, speaking words as Scripture. You see, he didn't just look back to the words of the Old Testament Scriptures and interpret them and explain them. But Jesus, as we listen to him through the Gospels, we hear him say things like, "Truly I tell you." And then he'd reveal some truth. Or saying things like, "You've heard that it was said, but I say to you." Jesus' words were on the same level as Scripture, with the same authority as Scripture, as if God was speaking himself through Jesus. It's no wonder the congregation that day were amazed. They'd never heard anything like this. Jesus' words have authority. But while he's teaching, we hear an interruption. Look at verse 23 with me. "Then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out." He interrupts Jesus. And in these next few verses, this is where we see the second headline, really. Jesus' words have authority. Jesus' words have such authority that they can overcome evil itself. We saw 2 weeks ago that after Jesus had been baptized, the Spirit of God drove Jesus, led Jesus into the wilderness to be confronted by Satan. Tempted by Satan. And now here, the first record of any public ministry of Jesus, and we see the same confrontation happen again. An unclean or an evil spirit confronts Jesus. This incident, of course, jumps out to us as being quite unusual. I've never had something like this happen here at Cheam Baptist Church. Someone possessed by an evil spirit stand up and stop things mid-sermon. My guess is most of us have never knowingly come across an evil spirit. So people try to reason this away. Surely there's some logical explanation for what's happening. Maybe this man was suffering from schizophrenia. That's why he speaks of himself in the plural. But we need to remember that what was happening in these days that Mark records for us were extraordinary events. Jesus, the Son of God, was walking the earth. It shouldn't really surprise us then that there's an explosion of more spiritual activity, certainly occurrences of evil spirits or demons that we see again and again through the Gospels. And as we listen to what this unclean spirit says in Mark 1, we understand something of why. Look with me at verse 24. Jesus was mid-flow. He was teaching those within the synagogue. And suddenly this man possessed by an unclean spirit cries out. Verse 24, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." This evil spirit knew who Jesus was, the Holy One of God. And they knew why he'd come, to destroy Satan and his forces. And yet they're attracted to him like moths to the light. We've just celebrated VE Day, haven't we? 75 years since VE Day. VE Day, Victory in Europe Day. victory over an enemy. Who are our enemies today? Well, as we read through the words of Scripture, as we consider our own lives and what we face, there are enemies still, aren't there? The enemy of sickness, that's having a big implication on our lives now. Sickness, which might lead to the enemy of death. The enemy of sin in ourselves, the things we do that we shouldn't do, and the sin of others, the things they do that they shouldn't do, which can lead to suffering or harm coming our way. And the enemy of Satan himself. Well, Jesus takes them all on. In the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, we see him confronting these enemies that we have. Sickness and sin, and in today's passage, Satan. So what does Jesus do? How does he confront this evil spirit? Look with me at verse 25. He simply speaks a few words. "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." Just six words. No weapons, no Ghostbuster gun, no zapping him with a laser, no magic potion, no Hollywood exorcism. Just words. And what happens? Verse 26, the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The spirit obeyed Jesus' words. It did as he was told by Jesus. Because Jesus' words had authority over him. And look at the reaction, verse 27. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." And then Mark says, news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. You can well imagine. But did you hear the echo in verse 27 of verse 22? A surprising echo. Jesus, by verse 27, has just driven out an evil spirit. He's just done something extraordinary. But the people's reaction, the people who witnessed this, well, it's the same reaction in verse 27 as they have in verse 22 when all they'd done then is heard Jesus' teaching. And their witness is important to us. What we need to get hold of about Jesus, what we need to hold on to here, even with this extraordinary event in verse 20, in verse, well, 25, 26, what we must hold on to is Jesus' words. It's the authority of his words that grab people, that people are amazed by. His words. You know, the Bible says something quite extraordinary about us. We're all the man with the unclean spirit. That's quite shocking, isn't it? But the Bible says that's true of all of us. We're all the man with the unclean spirit, and we all need the words of Jesus to set us free. Come with me just a moment to a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians. And we're jumping in at chapter 4 and just a few verses of what Paul writes there, the words here on the screen for you. Paul says this: "The God of this age," that's Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. In other words, Satan has blinded us so that we can't see who Jesus is or understand what he reveals to us about God. So what's the answer? How does this blindness shift? Well, verse 5. What does Paul do? He preaches. He speaks words. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. He preaches Jesus to them. Words, Jesus' words. And what's the effect of those words? Verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness. That's creation, where the power of God's words was seen. God created through simply speaking. God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. We gain sight through Jesus' words. That's the connection that Paul is making here. People who are blind, blinded by Satan, who can't see what God is like or who Jesus is. What do they need? They need words, the words of Jesus spoken. And the power of those words can unlock their hearts, can open blind eyes, can reveal Jesus to us and all that he reveals to us about God. You see, the battle with Satan is ultimately a battle of words. Satan is called in the Bible the father of lies and the deceiver. His main work in the world is to keep us from the truth about who God is and what he's like. That's what we see him doing the first time he appears in the Bible, that famous account of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. What did Satan do? He snuck up to them. He whispered in their ear. Did God really say? He sowed doubt in their minds. He led them to mistrust God. And that's his work today, to deceive us. So as we go through, after the Gospels, through the rest of the New Testament, as we read about the early church, we don't see warnings to the early church about evil spirits tormenting you, or that side of what we think Satan might be up to. No, we see warnings about people who will teach the wrong things, wolves in sheep's clothing, false teachers who will lead you astray, take you away from the Gospel, away from salvation, away from a relationship with God himself. So this story, this account in Mark, there in the synagogue at Capernaum, is really helpful to us. Jesus, as he comes into this world to save us from Satan, how will he do that? Through his words. And the evil spirit knows that. That's why he stops Jesus as he's preaching. That's why he knows who Jesus is. He knows what he's come to do. But Jesus' words had such authority. They could overcome the power of evil itself. That evil spirit left that man with a shriek. So two implications for us today as we finish. If you're exploring Christianity, maybe you've just joined us over recent weeks while we've been online. Maybe you've been looking into the claims of Jesus for a long time. Perhaps you're brand new at hearing these things today. Can I encourage you to look at Jesus? But particularly to listen to his words. The claim of the New Testament is that all of the Bible are the words of Jesus. The apostles, the ones who were with Jesus, who listened to him, they're the ones who give us the New Testament. All the different letters or books in the New Testament have some kind of apostolic link. It reveals Jesus' words to us. To understand who God is, listen to Jesus. Listen to his words. Don't rely on a TV documentary you once watched. Don't rely on the words of a celebrity who's quite persuasive. Don't rely on a book you once read. Or what your parents once told you. Listen to Jesus' words yourself. And you will find yourself amazed, like the people in the synagogue that day. More than that, Jesus' words can bring light to your eyes, hope to your heart, life beyond death, and save you from the grip of Satan himself. Look at Jesus' words. If you are a Christian, which means that you've done what Jesus told you to do last week, what we read of in Mark's Gospel a few verses before, means you've repented of your sin, you're believing in Jesus, in who he is, in what he's done, in his death for you, in his resurrection. If that's you, if you're a Christian, you know forgiveness of sins through Jesus, then are you still listening to Jesus' words? Are they still taking a priority in your life? Are you still making time to sit down and listen to him? And then not just listening, but doing what he says, as James tells us in his letter. Being changed by his words, day by day. Keep listening to Jesus' words. There is authority and power in his words to change us. And as a church, let's hold our nerve with Jesus' words. That's not fashionable these days. There are churches that have wandered, given up on the words of Jesus. Let's hold our nerve. Let's hold on to Jesus' words. That's why a big part of our services together is spending time looking at Jesus' words, trying to understand them. That's why we do that in smaller groups. That's why we use Jesus' words in our evangelism, in our sharing of Jesus with others. It's not through our persuasion of people, it's simply bringing people to see, look at who Jesus is, look at what he says, that they too might come to follow him, as we have, as Simon and Andrew and James and John have. Look at Jesus' words. Jesus' words come with authority. Authority with the power to overcome evil itself. What a brilliant truth that is for us today. The Reformer, 500 years ago, Martin Luther wrote a hymn about who God is and what he's like. And in that hymn, we read these words, or we would sing these words. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you for the power that we see displayed here in Mark's Gospel of Jesus' words. Overcoming an evil spirit, freeing that man who was in that spirit's grip. And Father, we recognise that that is just what we all need. We need the power of Jesus' words to unclog our eyes, to open our hearts, that we might know you and see you and trust you. Father, would you work in our hearts in that way, that Jesus' words would have that impact, that impression. Work with that power. That we would have confidence that Satan has been overcome through Jesus. His power and authority is above all else. Father, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.